On the line now, I have David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. Hello, David. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
So, lots of things happening, but can we talk first about the death of Neil Armstrong?
Absolutely, yes. Very sad day for space exploration and the whole planet.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about it, and I remember at the time, I can exactly remember what I was doing. I was walking up and down the bedroom with my firstborn child when the moon landing was happening. And it was a phenomenal thing, absolutely phenomenal. But he went through a lot of hassle as such with all these conspiracy things, didn't he?
Well, the sort of Apollo industry did, but different people took it different ways. Those of us in the know who look at the so-called evidence that people put up can see that they're just lying about it. They're making claims which you immediately prove are wrong. So if they did have a point, well, they've spoiled it by bringing in, you know, things like perspective will explain a lot of what they're seeing. And they know that. Any person used to lighting will know that immediately. So once you've proved that they're lying about that, the rest are theories, you know, don't hold water either. And some people just, because they're so easy to disprove that they're making a lot of it up, a lot of people just don't bother. You know, we know these are cranks, crackpots, conspiracy theorists, whatever.
Is it amazing when something...
Other people get really angry, like Buzz Aldrin, for instance, had punched a guy out who approached him to interview him about the fact that he was lying about going to the moon.
Rightly so. But, I mean, it's amazing when such a phenomenal things happen, when the cranks come out. I mean, I've been watching a few documentaries, just finished one about Clinton recently, but at around the time as well, they were talking about it wasn't about exploration, it wasn't about discovery or anything like that. It was just about the Americans beating the Russians into space and all that sort of carry on. So it was lost a little bit because of that with the ordinary people, I think.
Well, yeah, the reason that the moon landings happened at the time was entirely political. It wasn't for the scientific value. It wasn't for the exploration value. It wasn't for any lofty goals other than there was a space race on between the Americans and the Russians. And that gave NASA the budget that they needed to do something which was stretching the technology of the day, ultimately gave us the entire microelectronics industry that we have today. And boosted the American economy enormously. Some would have said, in retrospect, we should have done it anyway, just to have the kind of technology that we do today. Well, it wasn't for the great astronomy goals to figure out where the moon came from, and you know, all these lofty ideas of the human spirit of exploration. It was really just, fortunately, a non-aggressive war in space. That's the one good thing about it. It was, you know, flexing one's technological muscles. Although the equipment that was developed was very useful for launching nuclear bombs at each other, had it ever come to that.
Yeah, but with the exploration of space, it did lead up to the space station and the probe that's now on Mars.
Well, they're all being done now for sort of the right reasons, if you like.
No, but it all stems from that forced exploration, doesn't it?
Yeah, it certainly gave NASA a huge boost in that you know, they now have developed the kind of systems and equipment, technology, and know-how that, you know, we might still be waiting a few decades for it to happen if it hadn't been for the moon landings.
Okay.
And maybe it also gave a shot in the arm to a lot of people to think of space exploration as something that we could do.
It's a wonderful legacy for Neil Armstrong, anyway, and all the other astronauts that were involved.
Yeah, from his point of view, being the first man in history to set foot on another world, we can never take that away from him. Whatever reason it happened for, it was going to happen one day. And Armstrong will go down in history as perhaps the most famous person in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. And certainly up there with the likes of Christopher Columbus. I mean, there'll never be another first human being to set foot on another world, even the first person on Mars. I mean, you know, who remembers the first person to go to South America? You know, even Buzz Aldrin has to take second best as the second man on the moon. Neil Armstrong's the famous one, and Buzz is always going to walk in his shadow.
Okay, I would go on now to the meteor burst over the east. I'm sure a few people got little bits of frights and sort of things, but tell us about that.
Yeah, during the week we had a huge fireball seen in the sky. Again, we always get several of these, three or four big ones a year. And this one was seen, we think, over the east coast is the best location for any possible drop zone. So we've had them in the west and the northwest in the past time. The east coast chances has come again. It may have been out to sea over the Irish Sea, certainly a couple of initial reports say that, but when you get hundreds of reports in, collect them all together, the picture begins to crystallize, because a lot of people are out and about driving around, for instance, they're a bit disoriented, not quite sure which way is which way is north, and you can get conflicting reports. We don't want to let people think it definitely did land out at sea if it didn't, but we're asking people to go to our website if they saw it, and to fill out the report a fireball form on the left-hand side menu of the website, astronomy.ie.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think other people will do it. We reckon only 1 in 100 people who ever see these events bother to fill out the report form, no matter how much we appeal on radio, newspapers and television. So if you know anyone who saw it, it's vitally important that they go and fill out the report form. And if you're operating CCTV cameras, they don't have to be pointing at the sky. The fireball will come down on the horizon, will be picked up by these cameras. We've had it happen before, and they are 100 times better than an eyewitness report, because they're a photographic record, and we can measure the direction on those extremely accurately. Two of those would be equal to hundreds of reports from eyewitnesses.
Okay, any idea of the time?
About 11:15.
Because people might have
If people saw any fireball in the last few days, they should report it anyway. And a fireball is simply a shooting star that's brighter than the brightest stars you can ever see in the sky.
Okay. And because you have another discovery from a Rohini man who's, what is he, a second supernova. Tell me what a supernova is first.
Well, we now know that it's a huge star, much bigger than the sun, that blows itself to kingdom come at the end of its life. In the old days, of course, nova were seen in the sky from time to time, even with the naked eye. These are just new stars. Nova means new. And in our own galaxy, they're caused by two stars orbiting each other, and one strips material off the other, and eventually it explodes on the surface of the other star, and you get these big explosions. But a supernova was an incredibly bright version of one of those that you only see in other galaxies much, much further out in space. And these had to be colossal events. And the only thing that we can explain is if a giant star blows itself up at the end of its life. Stars like the sun are fairly stable. It has nuclear reactions going on in its core that will last billions of years, and that's all well and good. But a giant star gets out of control. The pressure at its center is too much, and it burns all its material too fast. And the pressure in the upper levels is still high enough to burn other types of material.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up this sort of onion ring-like star with it's burning hydrogen in the middle, helium shell around that, oxygen, carbon, and nitrogen, all kinds of weird stuff are going on in all the shells. And eventually the hydrogen in the center runs out and the core collapses and the rest of the star falls in on itself, undergoes a massive burst of nuclear energy that blows an entire star, thousands of times bigger than the sun, to smithereens, quite literally.
And this was seen by a member of Astronomy Ireland. He's from Rohini, David Grennan.
Yeah, David Grennan served for a time as the vice chairman of Astronomy Ireland, and he's been a leading light in the society over the years. Since I remember him buying his first telescope from us many years ago. He's come a long way now. He has some of the top-of-the-range equipment, and he's hunting for the supernova. Found his first 2 years ago, which was the first one found from Irish soil, which is a fantastic achievement. And especially with the Irish weather and the fact that he lives in the suburbs of a city, so you don't have to have a perfectly dark sky. And now he's proved it wasn't a fluke by finding a second one. And it's been officially confirmed. It's over 100 million light years from Earth. You wouldn't see it yourself if you went outside and looked up. It's too faint for that. You need a pretty powerful camera. But, you know, you could buy all the equipment that would enable you to see this star and technically to have discovered it, if you're doing as much hard work as David Grennan is, with equipment from Astronomy Ireland shop costing less than €1,000.
And you're out
not
there.
Beyond the average person.
And just to tell people who maybe haven't heard you for a while that you're out in Airside now. How long are you out there now? Nearly a year, is it?
Yeah, we moved to larger premises last year.
Yeah.
We have a big warehouse, biggest telescope shop in Ireland, our offices there, and we occasionally run events there as well. It's certainly worth dropping in to have a look around at all the telescopes and get a copy of Astronomy Ireland magazine.
And of course, you have all sorts of events going on through the year, because we do talk a few times during the year. Now, you have some upcoming lectures coming up?
Yeah, our big event, linking into David Grennan's story, is that next month, 15th of September, is the biggest annual star party of the year, when people bring their telescopes from all around Ireland to the highest village in Ireland, Realmwood, County Wicklow, and invite the general public to come along and look through them in a really dark sky with really powerful telescopes to see the wonders of the universe. we throw in a barbecue and, as well, and some talks. And we had got the BBC's Sky at Night, Sir Patrick Moore's co-presenter, giving the main talk this year. Mm-hmm. But now David Grenn has agreed to give a second talk on how he did it, how he found this supernova. So it's going to be an extra special star party next month. We call it Starbecue, a barbecue under the stars. And tickets are on sale on our website now, or call Astronomy Ireland to book yours. As well as that, we have a lecture coming up on the 9th of September, Monday week, where we'll have a speaker flying in from the UK to explain all about the Northern Lights. How do they work? Because we know a lot more about them now than we did 10 years ago when the last aurora season was on. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of satellites now recording the radiation from the sun that causes the aurora, and they think they understand the mechanisms a lot better than they did back then. We're going to find out all about it from a world authority in the subject on Monday week.
Okay, and so as usual, if people are interested in becoming a member of Astronomy Ireland, or do you want any more information on the things we've just talked about and find out about the Starbecue, they can look up astronomy.ie and just go to the different sections of that.
Exactly, and when you're there, sign up as a friend of Astronomy Ireland. That's free of charge. You'll get our emails every week to keep you informed of what's going on. And if you can afford a euro a month, actually less than a euro a month, you can sign up as a member and start getting Astronomy Ireland magazine and see all the incredible pictures coming in, not only from around the universe, all these spacecraft, but also from Irish people who are photographing the sky or writing their reports of what they've seen. It's really quite exciting.
Mm-hmm. Just before you go, David, I mean, I'm always, your enthusiasm is wonderful. I mean, you've been doing it for a long time, and a lot of people that get involved in astronomy in this sense, I'm sure everybody involved is excited about the probe landing on Mars, and you're watching the progress, of course. What sort of things would you like them to find out, if that's not a silly question?
Well, the brief for the scientists is to find evidence for past life on Mars. Now, even if there was only past life on Mars, that is a huge discovery, because it means life got started in two different places in this one solar system, and there are trillions of solar systems out there. Well, they're very far apart, so although the universe would be teeming with life, it could be very, very far apart indeed, and that would be a major discovery. It's not designed to find current life. If Mars was teeming with life, it would, but nobody thinks Mars is teeming with life now. Mm-hmm. The surface is very hostile to life as we know it. But there is water, is frozen water, below the surface. And the mission is incredible. I mean, over $2 billion spent. But first of all, to land the way it did, a lot of us thought, there's so many chances it's going to fail, but it's made it down to the surface safely. And the pictures that are coming back are incredible. That picture they just released showing the layered rocks lying around the Martian surface. These are sediments laid down in water billions of years ago, sticking out like a sore thumb. Mars was wet. It was underwater, had vast lakes and oceans covering its surface. There had to be organic compounds in that. And the chemistry of life must have gotten started, or else we're wrong about how it started here on the Earth. Mm-hmm. This is an amazing mission. NASA's had setbacks along the way, some great successes, and it looks like this mission, touch wood, that will continue the way it has for
I've heard some quite a few interviews. I heard Leo Enright talking about it, and I think that it was a wing and a prayer they were thinking as far as it was when it was being let go up. And finally, again, David, does it give any definitive idea that life could exist if people went there and landed?
Well, we know pretty good what the conditions on Mars are like now. Mm-hmm. And if you or I jumped out of a spacecraft unprotected, we would die immediately.
Okay.
There's deadly radiation on the surface, extreme ultraviolet exposure.
Even in a spacesuit?
The chemicals in the rocks are toxic.
Even in a spacesuit, David?
Now, if you're in a spacesuit, then of course you will be protected for as long as your spacesuit lasts. But who wants to live their entire life in a spacesuit? Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is build a base. And there's actually very simple ways of building a base. You basically dig a hole in the ground, put a simple structure up, and bulldoze the earth back over the top. Inside that capsule that you'll create, you can pressurize it, fill it with oxygen, and live comfortably in your shirt sleeves. And a bit of glass on the roof, you can let through enough light to grow crops and the like. So you can eke out a bit of a miserable existence on Mars relatively easily compared to, say, the Moon, where there's no atmosphere, the radiation even worse.
So the possibilities...
gravity's lower.
Yeah, for the possibilities for travellers and explorers is there if you get enough information.
one day that miserable existence will be better than the horrible planet Earth that we have left behind us. And that's the day that Mars colonization will not only have to start, but will be the way forward for the human race. And of course, the technology to do all this is going to get cheaper. Just linking back to Apollo, the kind of computers they had were cutting edge and cost mm-hmm. millions, if not billions, to develop. Today, you can get more technology for a dollar and a chip that's available off the shelf. And so it will be in the future that the sort of systems, even the mechanical systems and the way of manufacturing things, when there are more robots making things, manufacturing is a lot simpler than it is today, it won't become such a burden on the economy to create rockets and the technology to get to Mars. Mm-hmm. There's nothing particularly rare about anything that goes on. It's just that, you know, you only send one mission to Mars at the moment. When you send a million to Mars, the cost will be reduced mm-hmm. accordingly.
Well, I think going back to a famous television series in the 60s, like it's The Last Frontier, and I think we're beginning to explore it now. Before you go, David, give us all the details about the Starbecue, where people get involved with Astronomy Ireland, and all the lectures coming up.
Well, of course, go along to the website, astronomy.ie, sign up as a friend, or join the society. If you've got your credit card or laser card with you, you can get our magazine for, as I say, less than €1 a month and support Astronomy Ireland. The big star party, Starbecue, next month is on the 15th of September. It's a Saturday night, and it's the biggest collection of telescopes in Ireland, for sure, but one of the biggest in the world, especially in a dark sky. A lot of even advanced amateur astronomers around the world will never have seen the universe the way we can show it to the general public on September the 15th. So gather a few friends or the whole family and come along, but book your tickets early. It is a catered event, so tickets aren't available at the gate on the mm-hmm. night. We have to tell the caterers the day before how many are coming. We can cater up to 1,000 people, and we've had numbers like that in the past. The more the merrier. You'll hear the BBC speaker, and of course David Grennan from Ruhini, mm-hmm. that was all about his new supernova.
And just to emphasise as well that people, if they've never heard of this before, they're listening this morning and think that they might need any. They don't need any. All they need is to book a ticket, go down there, the equipment to be there.
Come along, we'll feed you both your belly and your mind.
Thanks very much, David. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you, bye. And that's David Moore, Astronomy Ireland. All the details again, astronomy.ie.